Okay, hi guys, my name is Shannon Beveridge. Welcome back to X's and O's, a podcast where we talk about queer relationships and sex. If I look tired, it's because it's 2 in the morning. Oh my God, you guys. I have never met anyone in my life who procrastinates more than me. If you've met someone, introduce them to me. I would love to meet them so I feel less alone, but it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. Anyway, I had such a great night. I went to the premiere of Kristen Stewart's new movie tonight. It's called Love Lies Bleeding, and it is so amazing. It's so good. It is kind of gory and odd and interesting and artistic and definitely gory. So if you don't like gory, you might not like this movie, but I loved it. And I was in the same room as Kristen Stewart. Can you believe how cool? So fun. What are the odds? I don't know what the odds are. I'm falling asleep. Anyway, I couldn't pass up the opportunity. I should have edited this sooner, but I forgot that I didn't record my intro part. So now I'm recording it now, which is, yeah, it's too late. I should have had this done. I am so tired. But the good news is that this episode that I filmed with Nicole is so long. We actually talked for almost like an hour and a half. No, longer. Anyway, I already cut it down and it's an hour long. So the intro can be a little bit shorter this week. But I hope you enjoy this episode. I think it turned out so great. I love Nicole. She's so cool. And I think we talked about so many things. And you're about to find out. But yeah, I hope you enjoy this week's episode. Quickly, my mental health check-in for this week is I'm feeling good. I have so much work to do. I have so much work going on, which is honestly, love that problem. Great problem to have. Not a problem. It's actually not a problem at all. It's a blessing. So I'm stoked. March is going to be really crazy. Really, really crazy. It's going to be a crazy month. Buckle up. Okay, have fun. I can't wait for you guys to see everything I have in store and all the travel I have. I'm going to South by Southwest next week, next Tuesday. I'll be on a panel. I'm going to be on a panel called The Power of LGBTQ Plus Creators That Hollywood Can't Replicate. And I'm so excited. It's going to be so fun. So I'm going there. I'm going back to New York this month. There's just like so much happening and I am happy. So my mental health check-in is I'm working. I'm happy. Can't wait for you guys to listen to this episode and next week's episode and the week after that. And I'm having the best time. I love you guys. Okay. Have a great week. I hope you are having a great week. I'm gonna go to sleep now. Okay, love you. Bye. Are you nervous? Are you excited?
I'm a little nervous.
No, don't be nervous.
I'm a little nervous, but I feel like it's good because it means like
we do better when we're nervous, care. I think.
Yeah.
Okay, hi guys, my name's Shannon Beveridge. Welcome back to X's and O's, a podcast where we talk about queer relationships and sex. Today, I have a very, very special guest, Nicole Bloomgarden. You may recognize her from TikTok or social media in general. You be going viral, like often. Your videos pop off.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm so stoked. Obviously, change of scenery. I am in New York City, so we are at Nicole's apartment. And it's not live from my bedroom this week. It's live from Nicole's couch.
Yes.
In a high rise in New York. And it's vibey. It's great.
You like it?
It's so good.
Thank you.
It's raining outside. The rain really fucked me today. I got caught in it. And
she was late.
I was really late.
Cheers.
Cheers. Should we start with like an introduction? Do you want to tell people like where are you from?
Yeah. So I'm from Virginia.
Yeah.
But when people ask, I usually just say Washington, D.C.
That's easier.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know where Virginia is. Like, I feel like Virginia is a forgotten state.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I understand. That's okay. So I just say, I'm from VA. Nova is what we call it, Northern Virginia.
Cool.
And then I moved to New York in like 2021. And I'm not going to lie, like I was a bit of a hobosexual. Do you know what that is?
No, I have an idea of what you're going to say.
It's
but.
Like... I never like officially moved somewhere, like signed a lease until later on. Like I was just like, I had a girlfriend out here.
Yeah. Okay.
I had a girlfriend out here and then I was like living with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that ended, I only like subleased places. And then, yeah.
And now?
But we're both on this lease. Yeah. So I started content back in Virginia in college.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a TikToker. And yeah.
Was it always the same kind of content that you're making now, or do you feel like it's changed?
No, it's totally changed. So during quarantine, I was like on one, just bored in the house. I was dancing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I just like, don't scroll to the bottom of my page. No. Did you ever see my dancing videos?
No, but I want to.
No, now. Keep it that way.
You post a lot though. I feel like it would take me a while to get down there.
Yeah, I mean,
smart.
Yeah, so I was doing dancing, and then now I do just like comedy sketches, and this feels like more
aligned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you explain how your dance went viral, and then what, like, how did that happen?
So the Out West dance, this one, Shake It Out West. Did you do it ever?
No way.
What? It's so easy.
I know. I think I've done like one dance ever on TikTok.
Okay. Yeah. So I posted it, and it was about a month and a half after I posted it that it actually went viral.
And then like, did people like all do it? Yeah, right?
Yeah, I started getting comments saying your dance is going viral, because I was posting it. Like, the first video I posted was like a month and a half before it blew up, and I was posting it literally every day, like, hop on this dance,
hop on this dance. Were you trying? Were you like, yes. I'm going to do it?
And I literally have a text from a girl I was talking to at the time being like, I just made a dance. It's going to go viral. I literally, for some reason, you I like just knew. Yeah.
I love when that happens.
Yeah.
When something just clicks and you're like, this is where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be there, it's the best feeling.
I knew. And then, yeah, so it went viral, and then I wasn't getting credit. Like, you know how everyone, like...
Yeah, the DC.
I wanted DC? The DC.
Give me DC.
I wanted the DC. And then I tweeted about it. And then that tweet went viral. And then all the, like, black creators went on strike. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And then after that, I got reached out to by Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt like I was like, all right, I'm not mad anymore.
Because Yeah, that's kind of the best case scenario ever. Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I'm here.
And then you just kept making content.
Yeah, I just kept making content. And I mean, like, I feel like you know this too. You've been on the internet longer than me. Sometimes you get in like...
Like burnout?
Burnout.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was about like, I was trying to find my niche for so long. And then like one day I was like, wait, just record this. And I made a skit about being a hobosexual. I made my girl at the time record the skit of me like showing up to her house with no shoes on. And just, I was like, I just got inspired by myself.
And it worked.
And it worked.
It works so well.
Yeah.
And it's so relatable. The content is so relatable. Mm-hmm. And so gay.
It's really gay.
It's really gay.
It's just it's really gay. Yeah.
What was like your coming out experience? Also, can we expose you for your age right now? Because I can't believe you're 23.
Yeah. Is that young?
It's so young, okay. I feel like.
Okay. I like being, I'm in the age where I'm like, yeah, call me young.
You want to stay young.
I'm down.
I'm in the age where I'm like, I want to stay young.
Yeah.
I'm just getting older by the second. No, but that's crazy because you've built so much and you're so young. So you should be really proud of yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, how did you come out? What was the experience?
So I always dressed masculine, like always.
Like when you were little?
Yeah. There's photos of me like in my brother's swim trunks and stuff.
Yeah, classic.
Everyone always speculated that I was gay. But I remember I got like a couple bitches suspended because they called me gay. Am I allowed to curse?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah, because I was like, Like, I remember having times in my head where I'm like, I'm gonna keep dressing like this, but I'm never gonna tell anyone I'm gay. It's just gonna be my secret.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have a moment like that?
Oh my God.
Were you like, you were like, I'm gay, but no one's ever gonna know?
Yes.
Okay.
For a long time.
Okay.
I was like, this is never coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and now look at me.
Look
at us.
Look at us.
We really came out.
So then I just like, I guess, started getting more comfortable with myself. Honestly, the reason I got comfortable with myself is because of my iPhone and the internet and influencers.
Totally.
Who like looked like me and I thought they were cool and they looked successful on the internet. I'm going to say some controversial, like Ellen DeGeneres. she was the first gay person I saw on media that made me realize like, oh, I can be gay and like successful. Like, this isn't wrong.
Yeah, literally.
So shouts out to like the media and influencing. Like, I'm in the position of like, I'm someone that my younger self needed.
Yeah, totally. You're like paying it forward now.
Mm-hmm. It was 2017 and I posted to a hashtag called hashtag it's a gay girl. Please. And then it went viral and everyone...
No way. Mm-hmm. Your first, like, you coming out went viral?
Yeah. My coming out went viral on Twitter.
Jesus.
And that's... So I went from like 200 followers to like 10,000. And then I just kept posting selfies on Twitter. And then my parents were actually really upset with the fact that I came out to the internet before them.
Mm.
Which I understand because they felt like, what, you don't think... They accept me, but yeah, my mom and dad...
Yeah, like, why didn't you tell
us? And Yeah, so that's how I came out. I came out on the internet.
Okay, you really do go viral. That's crazy.
I mean,
it's so interesting because I've never had a viral moment. Like, anything I've done has never gone, like, viral, which has made the internet so much less scary to me. But, like, you continue to go viral. Does that, like...
But what do you mean, like... Okay, what do you mean by viral? Because I feel like you have consistent high numbers.
Well, I, like, never had something just, like, out of nowhere pop off. Like, everything I have had, like, I built it slowly over time. Like, very slowly.
Okay.
Like,
okay, no, I know what you're saying. So, I do have, like, viral moments. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I'll post a video and then it'll get, like, 10 million views.
Yeah. Does it feel, when that happens, is it just, like, validating or do you ever feel kind of, like, overwhelmed? Because that's, like, a lot of people perceiving you at the same time.
No, I don't feel overwhelmed with that part because I'm just like, for me, the number, it's, I hardly believe the number.
I know, it's...
And I don't care about the comments, so I don't really care. But sometimes I feel like making content is like kind of pointless and I feel childish for doing it. Mm-hmm. And then when I make content that blows up and then I get comments like telling me like, thank you for everything you do for the community, then I'm like, oh, I'm not just like recording myself and like, with no point.
Yeah. No, it's like the validation of like, yeah, there's a reason for this. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like, I mean, you really like paved the way, but what was influencing like 10 years ago?
Yeah. Not this.
Or 5 years ago.
10 years. Or 3 years ago. Yeah. I know everything changes. It changes constantly. TikTok changed everything so much.
Shout out to TikTok.
I feel like a lot of influencers who are in my position, like TikTok was like, okay, now we have to learn this thing.
Yeah.
You know? And I remember at the beginning it being kind of, when it was still Musical.ly, people being like, this is so stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not downloading it. And I'm not going to post on it. And then it was so funny to watch everyone like scramble to figure it out. Right. Like, people being like, oh my God, we have to be posting.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I feel like you do.
No, you do.
But yeah.
It was kind of like embarrassing, I feel like.
Right. Anyone
to try
who
to figure it out. Mm-hmm. You're like, I remember trying to learn how to edit on TikTok, and I was like, I don't understand.
Yeah,
this
I don't
so confusing.
Like threads. I'm like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it.
Yeah,
I can't handle another
platform.
No,
it's too overwhelming. What's Virginia like? Is it open minded? Is it liberal? I don't even know. Is it blue or is it red? Is it a swing state?
Blue, I believe. No, it's not open minded. It was like I went to like a very white, conservative high school. However, I didn't necessarily get bullied for my gayness because I had this really tough, hard shell on that people knew not to fuck with me. And that's because I was on defense mode.
Yeah.
And that's because of what happened in the early stages when people started realizing like I dressed like a boy. Mm-hmm. People were so rude to me and I was the outcast. So I, somewhere in elementary or early middle school, I developed this like very hard shell that people were like, oh, don't fuck with Nicole, like she's mean.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
because I was on defense mode.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so when it comes to, did I face homophobia? Not really, except one time this dude called me a dick in front of everyone.
They love to do that.
And you want to know what makes me so mad, Shannon? I froze up. I didn't say
anything.
I didn't say anything.
And then you like walk away and you think of a million things you could have said, should have said.
Gosh, yeah.
It like cuts deep, obviously. It doesn't matter how thick your skin
gets. It did cut deep because, I mean, especially when you're young, I already felt like I was doing something wrong by being a... Yeah,
And now we own it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But my sexuality at that point in time, no one talked about it. It was just like the elephant in the room. Mm-mm. So when he said that, I was like, damn.
Yeah, it's like you see it.
I'm like, damn, I am a quiet down.
Don't tell everyone.
Don't tell everyone.
That was just for me. Did you have girlfriends and stuff in high school?
Yeah. I was a freshman. I was dating a senior.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And it was like, but it was weird because I was in the closet and she told me she had a crush on me. And then I said, I'm not gay. And she essentially said, yes, you are.
She's like, who are you kidding?
Yeah. And then we like dated secretly, but everyone knew.
Yeah. Well, if two not straight looking people are hanging out.
No, she looked straight.
Really?
But I never looked straight. I tried to look straight. I used to try to wear a braid. And I used to try to wear leggings.
No. Mm-mm. Not leggings. I feel like I got away with never putting leggings on.
Okay.
But I definitely was wearing dresses.
Oh.
Which is
Come on, dresses. No, that's a little better. Loose dresses?
I had to wear dresses for game days. Did you play sports in high school?
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you guys would dress up game days?
On game days.
We would wear our sweatsuits. Yes, I loved game days. I was like, I can be a dick in peace, bro. Okay.
And I had the opposite experience.
Yeah. So when did you come out?
I didn't come out until I was like your age.
Mm. Oh.
Probably about. I just took my time coming out. I came out to like one girl my sophomore year. I came out to two girls my junior year. And then my senior year, I would just like get drunk and tell anyone everywhere. Oh, but it was like still kind of secret. And then I graduated and then I posted a YouTube video and I was like, by the way, I'm gay.
Wait, were you posting YouTube videos
I
before?
I was. But and were they unlisted. So you couldn't find them unless you followed me on Tumblr.
But were they like popular?
They would do well, yeah. Mm, but
like for the time?
Yeah. Mm. But they were like secret. Like you couldn't find them unless you were following me on Tumblr. Like,
what was your Tumblr popping?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Back then.
That I never like, joined Tumblr. You know, I think I was too young.
Yeah.
I was too young for
Tumblr.
No,
it was like done by the time I feel like you would have been around. And like because YouTube and everything else was like, and Instagram. Mm-hmm. You had Instagram, what, all of high school, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not me. That's how old I am.
Oh, so what'd you have?
No.
MySpace? Yeah. Dare I say?
I had MySpace.
Oh my God, that MySpace. That was in middle school.
We had Facebook. We used Facebook like before parents got on it.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, now it's a family
now
channel,
it's
Facebook.
It's literally like for
pregnancy announcements.
And straight people.
That's so true.
My straight friends are still on Facebook.
Facebook
like,
is for straight
there's
people.
Your baby.
Yes.
There's your other baby.
Oh my
there's
God.
There's your wedding.
Do you want kids?
Maybe.
Really?
Do you?
You know, I would want to give birth.
Really? Okay,
yeah.
Me too.
Just
but
because,
I feel
like
people think that doesn't make sense. But I think I would look. Imagine me in this outfit and I'm pregnant.
You would be like a cute
pregnant
because your bump would be like so cute. Yeah,
I feel like it would like kind of make sense.
Yeah, I also just want to like then birth. Like if I'm gonna have a kid, I want that. I want the kid to come out of me.
Yeah, I feel like.
And then it's like that's cool.
I mean, it's like the craziest thing that we can
have. In the world. In the
kids.
World. Yeah.
I used to 100% want kids. 100%. And then I think, honestly, like 2020 and beyond, like Black Lives Matter and then Trump and then like the environment, everything just like feeling crazy. I was just like, do I want to bring a kid into this?
Yeah.
And like for what? Like just as like a narcissistic appendage? Like I don't
know.
Yeah.
But I
also not in like in a relationship where I want to have a baby with someone. So
like sometimes like you'll meet someone and be like, oh my God, let's have a kid.
Yeah. Mm. Like I'm like, I can see the future.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
With your dating experience, like what is the one takeaway that you've learned? So, you know, like a lot of times you've meet someone, you like them and you're like, oh my God, this is the one. But clearly, I mean, you're single, so none of it's worked. So what's like the biggest,
none of it's worked.
None of it's worked. So what's the biggest thing like you've noted? Like what is your biggest takeaway if a relationship is going to work?
The right
or is
or
the
not?
Right one?
I think that more so it's like each relationship shows me more about like what kind of partner that I want. Mm. Like you learn a little bit. I've gotten more and more of a clear vision of like what the girl of my dreams would be like, you know? I don't really think
so you
there
basically
is,
just have to go through it.
Yeah.
You just have
I
to learn.
I don't think there's like a thing that it's like, this is what would make it be right. I don't know.
So the overarching like kind of like the reason why like things have failed have just been incompatibility.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also timing. I think like my first relationship really, really failed because of the timing because I was really young.
Mm.
And I
how old? Don't say my age. Don't say my age.
Like, yeah, like your age.
Oh my God. Yeah. But
because I also, my first girlfriend was kind of like a lot of my first experiences. Mm. And I came out dating her. Like I was dating her when I fully came out of the closet.
Oh, yeah,
so I didn't feel like I had like experienced being like
that was never gonna
a lesbian.
Work.
Yeah.
That was too, yeah.
Yeah. I was just too little. Like it was too little. And I think like when we were together, I really was thinking in like a Dallas mindset of like, oh, like you fall in love, you get married. Mm. And like it took moving away from Dallas and being in LA and realizing like, oh, okay.
No, you saw the other girls. Like, don't
no,
lie now.
No, I'm just saying, like, it deconstructed a lot of, like, what I thought about, like, what you're supposed to do as an adult. Like, I literally, my friends were getting married at 23, 24.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I left, I'm like, oh, wait, I'm not even ready to get married at all. I'm like, I want to have other experiences. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So timing definitely has ruined relationships. Or not ruined, but, you know, ended them. But speaking of relationships.
Yeah.
Should we talk about yours?
Let's do it.
Your girlfriend's year.
Yeah, I don't care. Let's go.
Let's do it. Okay, so you notoriously U-hauled.
Yes.
And how's that going for you? Hobosexual.
It's in my blood. It's different now. I mean, I love deals. So, no, but people say that U-hauling doesn't work. And I think it can work.
Yeah.
Because it's worked before. Like, people have moved in 2 weeks and they've been married for 10 years. But it just makes it painfully clear if you're going to work with this person. That's what U-hauling does.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. It's a lot fast. Why do you think lesbians U-Haul in general?
I just think that, like, in a relationship, that person really becomes your safe space mm-hmm. in, like, woman-on-woman relationships because they're emotionally available mm-hmm. to you. It's not like a man and a woman where sometimes they just can't really connect with you like that. Mm-hmm. So that is your best friend. That is your lover. You feel safe with them. You're like, hell yeah, I want to live with you.
Yeah.
So what I've learned from U-Hauling is, first of all, we work together, mm-hmm. but like we do both want to, me personally, I need to work on, I have anxiety being alone. Mm. I've never lived alone. Me too. It's because I have health anxiety.
Do you? Oh, really?
Yeah. Like seriously? Like, not that seriously. I just kind of now learning about it. Like sometimes I get scared to eat because I'm scared I'm going to choke.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So literally.
That's pretty serious.
Yeah. That's right. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. So like I've never lived alone because I have like anxiety and like just mental blockages. And before I live with someone like forever, mm-hmm. I want to
live alone.
Just tough it out because I just need to tough it out. Mm-hmm. I can get through anything. I've gone through crazy mental blockages. I can do it.
Yeah.
So we love living together mm-hmm. and being with her in this house has made me realize I can be with her for the rest of my life.
But you want,
but to. We're not, this is not like now until forever.
Yeah.
I'm going to live alone still. Eventually we'll come back and live together. But U-Hauling does just like speed up the relationship. Yeah. And I honestly do recommend against it. You don't know, I recommend against it just because like sometimes I, you know, you need to miss a person. You need to, uh-huh. like, I want to meet up with her in Central Park sometimes, mm-hmm. but she's right there, mm-hmm. you know?
The missing someone is definitely a real thing.
Yeah.
I think the biggest issue with U-Hauling, or, like, in general, when relationships move fast like that, is it's really hard to slow it down. Like, once you're mm-hmm. where you are.
That conversation.
It's really hard to slow it down.
Because the other person is going to feel rejected.
Rejected. Because yeah. you're like, we've already set the precedent, mm-hmm, a precedent mm-hmm. of this. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is. I mean, that's the same with any kind of thing in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Once you set the precedent, like, this is how we act, this is what we do, to slow down or, like, take steps back is just a really, really hard mm-hmm. experience to have.
So, like, the other person feels like they sometimes will feel like they're being rejected. Mm-hmm. I understand that. And then the person who is bringing up the issue might feel like, oh, it's wrong. This is wrong.
Yeah.
But it's not wrong. No. You just need to do something else.
Mm-hmm. Well, you should be able to like correct.
Yeah, bad you don't have to be. Yes,
if you want to stay with someone, yes. it's like we have to fix something mm-hmm. here, and this is well, one thing we could fix.
Lucky for me, my girlfriend is like very mature in the sense that she's not gonna get hype with me. She's gonna take a second. She's gonna think, and I'm like, I'm not used to that.
Yeah,
like. She'll like really listens. Hear me out, mm-hmm. which is great because I need that. Like, I have severe ADHD.
Me too.
And I think as an adult, your ADHD it doesn't manifest so much physically hyper, but mentally hyper. Mm-hmm. Like 1,000 thoughts yeah, at a totally. Time. So because of that, I am like a big kid. I was prescribed Adderall in 8th grade. So once I kind of realized, like, oh, I don't want to be taking meth every single day.
Fair.
I had to learn how to cope with ADHD for the first time as, like, a 22-year-old.
Yeah, that's a very mm-hmm. intense experience.
Yeah,
because
I can't. Because also, you went through your.
That's a lot of your life to be mm-hmm. on a drug.
And I was damn near forced to take it.
Really?
Because I was really bad. I was really bad. I just like couldn't sit still. Yeah. Like the teacher would be talking, and I'd be like, anyway. Back to what I was saying. Like, I just couldn't.
Like, you needed it.
I did need it. I actually don't think I needed Adderall, but I needed something.
Something, yeah. 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 Structure.
Just anything.
To get through it.
I honestly do feel so bad for my teachers. I want to say sorry to Miss Grimes. I'm so serious. And also, who did I like? The principal, Miss Ashahid. You really did your big one with me because she was patient for the first time. No one was patient with me.
Yeah, I think that's really what it takes.
Yeah.
But I feel like also it's getting better because now we have more understanding of like ADHD. I mean, mm-hmm. imagine even like 50 years ago, 20 years ago.
And gayness. Like these kids are like non-binary with crazy ADHD and people are just like, oh, she just, this is that. But when I was doing that, they're like, she's going to go to jail. No, I'm serious. They thought I was going to go to jail.
To help her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so obviously I've been in public relationships.
Yeah.
Now you're in a pretty public relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Are there like fears around that? Or like, how do you feel being in a public relationship?
I'm going to be honest. My only fear about it is because I do love posting her because she's a big part of my life. I'm making her such a big part of my brand
mm-hmm.
that if I were to stop, people only want us.
Yeah.
That is my only fear. As far as like breaking up, let's say that happened and like what the internet would think, I'm telling you, I seriously do not care about the internet.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, do you care about the internet?
I feel like I'm desensitized to it.
I'm desensitized.
At this point, for sure.
Yeah, so.
I definitely used to care a lot.
Yeah, and as far as what people say, does it affect anything between us? No.
Yeah.
Like, not at all. She's been on the internet since she was, like, 16. I've been on the internet since I was, like, 16. Like, at this point, mm-hmm. no. Like, it really just, they're just numbers to me and words.
Yeah.
It would
you like post a we broke up video?
Absolutely. I'd be like, y'all, we broke up. Chill. We just broke up. Don't ask questions. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But no, that is, she's my bestie.
Yeah.
She grounds me because when I'm single, I just feel like it's distractions for me when I'm single. And it's bad energy. And I honestly love the life we've built.
I love that for you.
Yeah.
I feel that I've...
No, because you're like, she's so naive.
No.
That's what you're thinking.
No, no, no. Not at all. Okay. I was going to say, I mean, I think that the way... I feel like short form content, like mm-hmm. how you have been on TikTok, really creates more of a barrier.
It's not between, as invasive.
Yeah, between you and like an audience. So... It's different than like my first really, really public relationship.
Where you guys are just talking.
It's like you guys know us mm-hmm. and you are like the parasocial relationship, I feel, was way more intense mm-hmm. with my first relationship in the internet. Like even experiencing my most recent breakup, the parasocial like thing of that was less intense. Also, there's so much more representation now.
Right.
Versus when
there's just so much content.
Yes, there's so much content. Yeah. There's so many couples to ship. There's so many people to care about that like no one is like so gung-ho all in on one couple.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was in that relationship, there were not that many. So like
people were I know about there. You. I've seen you. Now this is living, right?
Yeah.
You had longer hair.
Oh yeah.
I saw you everywhere. You were everywhere. But like
people like really like people like cried. People cried when we broke up. On Twitter, it was like I've seen people reacting to it. Like,
but don't you like think about it? Like, doesn't that make you like, if anything, just worried for the person crying? Like,
well, I think I
no, but you guys, you really were like some of people's only.
It was early days. Like just even gay marriage wasn't legal. When I started making videos with her. Like, when we were...
Could you guys have gotten arrested?
No. No.
Let me stop.
How old do you think I am?
I'm serious.
Holy
I'm like,
shit.
Would you guys have gotten
like,
stoned?
Don't ask, don't tell.
What decade was this? Oh my God.
Stone. I understand why people were invested the way that they were. I get it. But
you're an icon. You actually are.
You're an icon.
No, you're actually an icon. Like you're like one of the first. You have to own that.
Thank you. I mean,
do you own it? Are you like, you are an icon? Like, I mean, just look up the definition of like what an icon is. Like, I'm saying you're an icon, like objectively.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean,
you paved the way, like for me.
That's so nice.
You did pave the way. Don't start crying.
I know. Okay, you're being too nice. No, I do feel like a lot of what I have, like, I owe just to timing, like that I did it before other people did it. It's mm-hmm. not like, I don't think there was anything necessarily unique or special or amazing about how I did anything I did. It was just the timing of when I did it.
But you don't think it was low-key daring?
Yeah, no, it was. It was definitely, I definitely stuck my neck out. I stuck my neck out. Like, it could have gone badly. People were definitely like, what the fuck are you doing? Well, like, why are you posting YouTube videos? And I used to get in Ubers. I always say this story because I think it's so crazy. But when I moved to LA, I would get in Ubers and they'd be like, what do you do? Like, what do you do in LA? And I'd be like, oh, I'm a YouTuber. And they'd be like, you can make money off of that? Like, you could, that's a career that you could have?
You're actually an icon.
And I was like, yeah,
you're like Paris Hilton.
But then it was only like 2 years later, I'd be getting in the same Uber and they'd be like, oh, what do you do? And I'd be like, I'm a YouTuber. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, can I give you my card? Like, can I show you my brand? Do you want to, like, will you promote me? Like, the flip, like, it switched so fast where the, like, everyone was like, oh, there's something here.
But,
like,
but something. Who do you think made that switch flip?
I think
you. That's what I'm saying. Like,
switch. No, it was like all those early cool. creators really were like doing something. Like, no one knew what we were doing.
That's cool. That's really.
But yeah,
cool.
Same with the TikTok thing. I feel like it's its own new, like a new version of an icon, like a new thing.
It's a good outlet. It can help people feel comfortable and find people to look up to. That's why I do it. Mm-hmm. I do it honestly. I do it for people to feel normalized because yeah. I mean, I literally did not feel normal as a kid.
Oh my God.
I was like, I have this big secret and it's gonna stay a secret because it's wrong. Mm-hmm. So if I credit TikTokers to anything, it's that they help people, their representation.
Yeah.
Even the fucking dudes who thirst trap, there's someone out there who
needs it. No, truly. I mean and it's everything. It's like, even just like, I don't know, people who are into Pokemon. It's like the mm-hmm. silliest stuff. Yep. But it's just like, we need to feel less alone. Like, yes. People want yes. desperately want to feel like they see themselves.
Yeah.
And media, like traditional media, is so fucking slow at yes. changing it.
Yeah.
Like, we're still getting the same stupid, like, sad queer storylines. Mm-hmm. We're still getting, I mean, also every queer show ever is fucking canceled. So yeah. It's like, so it's like basically the people have to take it back. Like, we had to do it ourselves. Like, if you're not going to show us a happy queer couple, like, I'll do it.
We should do a project together.
Let's do it.
I'm so serious.
I'm down.
We could do something crazy cool.
We definitely could.
Like, write a show.
I'm so
or do a queer dating show. Have you ever thought of doing that?
A queer dating show?
Yeah.
I feel like it would be so good. Like, mm-hmm. we need... The Queer Ultimatum did so well.
Right.
People were obsessed.
Like, we could just produce one and then pitch it. Mm-hmm. I was posting, telling people to send in applications for a dating show.
And did it work? I mean,
yeah, sure I have so many applications, but I'm just more like, I don't really even have a dating show yet.
I know a lot of people don't want to make being gay their brand. Mm-hmm. Like, people would be like, yeah, there's way more interesting things about me than being gay. I'm like, sick, good mm-hmm. for you. I don't care at all that being gay is my brand. I do not. I'm like, yes, being a lesbian is my brand. Talking about gay stuff, that is my brand. And I'm doing it because we still need it. Like, it still needs to happen.
We're oppressed.
Bless you.
I'm good.
But yeah, what do you think about that? About, like, being gay as your brand?
I don't like it.
You don't want
no,
it?
No, no, I don't like when people shame people yeah. for it. Because I used to have so much internalized homophobia. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, in that era, I agreed. Don't make gay your whole brand. Like, you don't need to shout it from the rooftops. Mm-hmm. That's when I had internalized homophobia. Yep. Now that I don't, I'm like, why are you saying that?
Yeah. Also, like, we need the content.
We need the content. It's just like,
also, your TikTok is like a case study on how much people want the content. Like, it, they do so well. People are so, like, relate to them so heavy. It's like, people want to hear those things.
It, and it's, they're all based on real life experiences.
Yeah, they're so,
yeah.
Like, I love the way, I love the content you make, because it's not like, it's not like you're trying to make these, like, insane, like, really deep, like, comparisons about, like, queer people. It's just, like, everyday queerness.
Yeah.
You know? It's, like, very mundane. Like, it's just what it actually feels like to be a queer person.
Exactly.
And you just make it, like, silly.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes you feel so, I'm like, oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's I watch it, I'm like, hell yeah.
I'm really happy to hear that.
Yeah.
I honestly, like, people are like, oh, my God, you're so good at acting. Maybe I am good at acting.
You're like, I don't want to sell myself short.
Maybe I am good at acting, but in those moments when I'm filming, I'm literally tapping into the experience.
Yeah.
But I think that actually does make me good at acting.
It does, yeah, for sure.
But I'm hardly acting.
Yeah. It's reality.
Yeah, it's reality.
It is your own reality show.
Yes.
Okay, something you talk a lot about on TikTok, I feel, is like label, like you talk about femme and mask and like labels within queerness.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like some queer people don't like that on top of already having to call yourself a lesbian, then you have to come up with another label, like within it. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, why can't I just be a lesbian? Why do you think it's important to be able to say, like, I'm a mask lesbian, or I'm a femme lesbian, or I'm a stud, or I'm a...
Stud is hilarious. I just think labels, they help people. Like, for instance, this is completely unrelated, but I was kept feeling like my heart dropped randomly. This mm-hmm. was like started like a year ago. And I literally thought there was something like wrong with me, something that no one else experienced, until I was talking to my therapist and figured out their like mini panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Once I found that out and labeled it as a panic attack, I was like, oh, other people experience this. I can look it up. Mm-hmm. I can find a community.
Yep.
This is normal.
Yeah.
So I think labels, while there's a lot of them, I think it helps people find community and helps people feel less alone. So I don't... Yeah,
and I feel like it does give you kind of some, like, control in a way mm-hmm. to feel like, okay. I like, for me, because my favorite label for myself is chapstick lesbian.
I knew you... I was about to call you a chapstick... Golden retriever lesbian. See?
But a chapstick lesbian, I'm like... Ever since I, like, found that out, now I'll, like, Google things, like, what does a chapstick lesbian wear to a... And then I get, like, a picture of myself, and I'm like, this is not helping me. I don't want to wear that
again.
But
I don't want to wear that again.
But it is, like, it weirdly is, like, helpful for some reason. Mm-hmm.
Imagine if it wasn't, like, gay people. Imagine if it was, like... I mean, there's so many labels for straight people, like...
Told and, you know, and they're the same labels.
They're the same labels.
Literally, like tomboy.
Yes, and they're not annoying. Like a golden retriever boyfriend. Oh, but that's not extra. But a chapstick lesbian is.
Yes.
And I mean, the nicknames and the labels, they are extra. But who cares?
No, I mean, you don't need to have one if you don't want it.
Exactly.
But like, let the people have them if exactly. they want them. But people do get like their panties in a bunch about it.
Seriously.
Okay, another question I want to ask you. I recently saw this TikTok went viral of this guy talking about white creators and black creators and mm-hmm. saying that white creators can be mediocre and still be like really successful and working and like getting all these big brand deals, and that like black creators have to do more and try harder and make their content like better.
Mm-hmm.
They can't just be mediocre.
Yes.
Do you feel that way?
100%. But this is what I will say. Just like how I feel about Taylor Swift. I think Taylor Swift is mediocre, but there is nothing wrong with being extremely famous for being mediocre if people like you.
True.
Okay? What's different with white and black creators is white creators can be trashy and they can curse mm. and they can have their hair all messy and they can talk about raunchy subjects. Black creators cannot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is where the disadvantage is. You cannot be ghetto mm-hmm. as a black creator, because mm-hmm. then brands don't want to work with you because their product isn't ghetto.
Because
mm-hmm. if you are acting the same way a white creator is acting, now you are ghetto, all of this type
There's
of stuff.
There's, like, stereotypes.
Yes.
And like, yeah.
So that's what I've found a lot. And my mom always tells me, like, clean up your content. Don't curse. Like, you have to present, show people that you're smart. Show people that you can do this. Because off rips, they're going to think that you're not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's just so...
Like, the bar is already higher.
Yes.
Like, the standard is already, like, you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw these other creators also talking about, like, going to Coachella or something. And they were talking about the white creators. And they're like, these white creators are there, like, wasted, doing drugs, mm-hmm. like, being messy, being sloppy.
Yes.
And they're
yes.
there with brands. And
yes.
the brands are there drinking with them,
yes.
doing all that stuff. And they were like, I didn't drink at Coachella because
mm-hmm.
I didn't want them to see me like that.
Right.
I'm out of fear that I'll never get to work with that brand
mm-hmm.
again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that the double standard is like...
It's crazy.
And I can feel it. I
yeah.
can see it. Even the way that content is pushed for white creators versus black creators,
oh.
I can feel.
It's crazy. Like, I have to worry if I haven't posted in a week that I have to get my views back up because sometimes they'll be low. But it's really powerful. Shout out Victoria Paris.
Hell yeah, girl.
When they speak on it,
mm-hmm.
just because it is just such a gap and a difference.
Last night, I feel like we were talking about strap-ons.
Okay, I thought that was a dream. Yeah, let's talk about it. Do you like strap-ons?
Okay, mom, dad, this is when you stop watching, by the way.
Yeah, actually, my mom and dad, too, stop watching.
I just feel like strap-ons have never been, like, a staple in any relationship I've had. They've never been utilized, like, that much. It's always kind of been more like a... I've been dating someone, we've been sleeping together for like 4 or 5 months, and then you're like, should we like get a strap on?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go get the strap on, and it's like a whole experience, and you're like laughing in the sex store, and then you use it like once a month, maybe. Like, I don't
mm-hmm.
even know. Not like, it's never a staple.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel so silly when I have it on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I feel like I'm going rock climbing.
You've never gotten into it?
I've gotten into it.
Like, you've never been like, I'm enjoying this.
No, I've definitely enjoyed
okay,
it.
Okay.
It's fun. It's like a fun, different thing. But I just don't like the way that, like, I feel embarrassed a
mm-hmm.
little bit.
Yeah.
And also, I've dated people who've slept with men, and I've never slept with a guy.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like I don't know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
100%. People
you know
don't
I mean?
Talk about that enough.
Yeah.
Because, so, for me, the only time, like, a strap-on has been, like, one of the main things that we do sexually is if it's been like a sneaky link with kind of like just friends with benefits
mm-hmm.
type of thing. But yeah, I mean, for me.
And are they like straight girls?
No, they're girls? I don't like straight girls. I was like again, when I had internalized homophobia, I like
you
straight
did,
girls.
Yeah.
So no, I don't mess with straight girls, but.
I don't believe.
Yeah, maybe they are. I just didn't know. You know?
No, yeah. I just don't think, like, anyone who's going to hook up with me
yes.
is a straight girl.
Yes.
I'm like, as soon as you make out with me, you're not straight to me
yes.
anymore. I mean, okay, make out, maybe. But if you're going to, like, hook up with me, I'm like, okay, you are queer.
Yes.
At least a little.
Yeah. Especially if you're going to go down on me.
Me too.
Then, come on. You're
like,
gay.
A straight girl would not do
no,
that.
No.
Yeah.
But, okay. I like using a strap-on. I think that... Like, men, their penises, they are intuitive with their
they
penis.
They can feel it.
Yes, yes.
They can feel it.
It's sometimes really hard and because it's you're not feeling
they
it.
They can't feel it where
yeah.
it is. I'm like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than when you're wearing a strap-on and it slips out. And
yeah.
you don't know that it slipped out.
It's just like
why
you,
does it make me so embarrassed? Like,
it's
I feel
so
embarrassed. Like, I'm like,
you need
sorry.
To be strong.
Yeah.
To use a strap-on. You need to be physically strong, fit.
It takes work.
Yes, it takes
oh
it takes
God,
a lot of work.
Work going on.
But
it's
it
a
does
fucking workout.
It does arouse me. I like using it. I don't like it
used on
me.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
like it both ways.
That's cool. I don't. No, but
that's cool.
I do like using it, but it's not like a staple. But I do want to get more comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
And something I just want to talk about real quick, because I was having like a literal crisis because I was like, when it comes to sex, sometimes I want to have a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we were talking about. That's what we were talking about last night.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And then for a while, I was like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
What
like,
does this
you're like
mean
is this like
me?
A trans thing?
Yeah. Is this a trans thing? But I just think because we are masculine and we're having sex with a female,
mm-hmm.
like.
And femme girls.
Femme girls. Like,
I,
mean, we
I
just,
think we have a similar type.
Yeah.
I would say.
We just.
I think we're a similar type.
I think we're
we
similar.
We are similar.
Yeah. Yeah. We are similar.
Because like, we're like. You have such a girly face. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel like. Me too.
Yeah, and we're also not very tomboyish personality wise. Like, yes. We are.
No, like, I'm a girl. Like, yeah, I'm a lady.
We are, but I'm a lady. At the end of the day, like, I'm a lady. Period.
Period. Like, and sometimes I want to have a penis when I have sex.
Exactly.
But I'm a lady. Don't get twisted.
But I just want to say, I was seriously, like, stressed. I was like, am I a transgender? I'm like, no, I want to be a woman.
Yeah.
I just want to dick sometimes, and that's fine.
I think it's honestly because, well, I'm not going to tell you why you would think that, but mm-hmm. I felt the same way. So I think for me, where it comes from is I'm like, I want to feel pleasure at the same time as my partner, and I want the pleasure to be from the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, obviously there's a lot of things you can do mm-hmm. as lesbians, or like, you can be like both fingering each other at the same time, whatever. But it's not like the same. Like, I want to feel like more like lost in it, I guess. And I'm like, you can't really get that feeling exactly. Mm-mm. I guess like scissoring you can, but then
I love scissoring.
Me too.
Yeah.
Like, also a lot of work. Unless you have something you could tell me.
You're like, I don't find scissoring a lot of work.
Really?
Yeah.
What position are you in?
Okay, so.
We can talk about it later.
But for me, it's seriously not a lot of work just because it's not exhausting any of my muscles. Mm. Using the strap-on exhausts my muscles.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Except, I think it's like, okay, I like the concept of the strap-on, but I want to feel it.
Yes. I would, yes. And I would also be able to, like, hit it better.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. If I was feeling
if it. I could just know. Can we like design?
Someone needs to design something, please.
Something where you like have a sensation.
And not just tried a vibrating one?
Yeah.
I actually don't think I have, but I don't believe it would do anything. Like, maybe it would. I should try it.
Have you ever tried like a double set, like one that's like shaped like this?
Yeah. But it doesn't like.
It's too big. This part is too big.
Yeah, it is too big. It is
for
too
me.
Big. Yeah. But also, I feel like I still need a harness.
Yes, you still have to wear it. But also, it's too big. For, like, I literally feel like
it's like a.
Feels like it's going to shove out at any moment.
Yes. It's like, I have, like, put it in. And I was like,
ow! It hurts. It hurts. I was like,
yeah.
God, someone design something better. Should that be our project?
I'm down.
Like,
no, but that would be a great project. But how do we even get started?
I don't know how to get started. I'm curious from an audience perspective. Since they're all mostly gay women, do you ever wish you had a penis? I want it to be gone mm-hmm. the second I'm done having sex.
Yes.
Like, I just want, and I don't even want it often. Just sometimes. Just I'm like, that would feel so good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wait, I have a question for you.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that this is not, I'm just prefacing it. I'm not trying to offend anyone, and I'm not trans, so I don't know if this would offend a trans person.
What are you gonna ask me?
It's a question I ask a lot of my friends, like, in real life.
Okay.
Because I think it's interesting, but I just don't want to offend anyone, because obviously we don't know. But do you think if your soul was born in a boy's body, would you feel like you're trans? Because I will ask this question to, like, really feminine girlfriends of mine, like, really feminine friends, and they're like, if my soul was in a boy's body, I would know that I'm a girl. And I'd be like, why am I in this body? I think if my soul was in a boy's body, I'd be okay too. If anything, I probably do identify more as non-binary than anything, but I love to be a woman and I love women. So it's like, but I just think if I was born and I didn't know anything else and you put me in a little boy's body, I would also not be trans. Like, I'm not trans as a woman and I don't think I would be trans as a man. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. No, if I was a guy, I would stay a guy.
Yeah.
I can do whatever.
That's what I think that, like, my soul is not that attached to my gender.
Yeah, yeah. Like, mine either.
I love being a woman because I love women. So, like, I'm like, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I don't really like men.
Yeah.
Like, in general.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm happy that I'm a girl.
That is, like, a great question.
How do you feel about being masc and dating femmes? Does it ever make you feel too boyish? Or, like, okay, I guess for me, I'm like, I want to be asked on dates. I want someone to open the door for me sometimes. I want, like, I will do those things, mm-hmm. and I probably do them more than any partner I probably will ever have. Mm-hmm. But I still like people to do that for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to feel like I am a boyfriend.
Yeah. Do you think boyfriends should be treated that way, though? Like, where they don't get that treatment?
That's a great question.
I think that they should be treated the same.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So I just kind of expect that, because I don't think that the guy should just be the one doing that type of, like, chivalrous.
Thoughtful. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because to me,
it's just caring.
It's just,
to
like,
me.
Thoughtfulness.
Yeah, it has,
like,
no gender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah, you know? So I'm just like, really, to me, like, if my girl opens the door for me, that's not her being masculine.
Or being a girl. Yeah,
right. That's
totally.
Her just, like, showing that she loves me. And my girl does. Like, she gets me flowers and stuff. And I guess, I mean, whatever you want, whatever mindset you're at is what you're going to attract. So when I was in that more, like, toxic masculinity stage, I attracted women that did treat me
like a boyfriend.
Like a boyfriend. But now,
boyfriend.
Yeah, a boyfriend. But now they're definitely going to say we're trans. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
But now attract, and my girl just treats me like, not even like a woman. She just treats me
good.
Good.
Treats, yeah.
Well, yeah.
So true.
Yeah, so I do
she
expect
treats me
that.
Good. She treats me well.
Yeah. You heard me say well?
No, I know. Okay. I was like, that was not proper English of me. Sorry.
But I have a question for you.
Okay.
You have to promise to answer honestly.
Okay.
Are you actually and genuinely over all of your exes?
Yes. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God. Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
I feel like a lot of people, literally most people in life, are never actually over their
fully
exes.
Fully over them. Yeah. I do think, and there's something about, like, lesbians, that whatever that trope is of us, like, being stuck on someone, or, like, never over your last girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I feel fully over all of them. But I also tried to make each one of the relationships work until I ran them into the ground, basically. I feel like I very much so am someone who's like, I'm not giving up on this. I'm not giving up on this. So when I walked away from each of them, it was like, okay, I know for sure that is not going to work. Mm-hmm. That's done.
So you've had, like, the horrible lesbian breakup?
I don't think any of them, well.
Just, like, what I mean by horrible is, like, it broke you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I had a really bad one.
Really?
I had a really bad one. And it's like,
is it your first one?
I'm happy it happened, because it's never gonna happen again. Mm-hmm. Seriously. It was I would consider it my first one. I dated people before, but it was never this deep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, Shannon, it was it was really bad. I was like 20, 21, and I think the reason why it was so bad is because it was my fault. I just was, like, not a conscious human being. I just
Yeah, your brain's still not finished.
Yeah, it's still not. I'm still not a conscious human being.
Still not done.
But I was, like, in college, and I didn't know anything about, like, I was drinking every day. Mm. That was college.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was wrong, even. So I didn't even, like, say, like, changing that was on the horizon, because I didn't know it was wrong.
Everyone was drinking every day in college.
Exactly.
Also, like, even if you weren't, someone was.
Yeah, exactly.
At all times.
And I was just, like, not great mentally, but I didn't know I wasn't great mentally. I didn't know anything, and I just, like, ruined the relationship, and it broke me.
Really? Like, you regretted it? Like, not the relationship, but your, like, how
yes,
you acted. Yeah,
completely. And I just felt like a horrible person. I felt horrible because I was insecure.
Mm-hmm.
So I was getting upset about things, and I was, like, just acting out of character. And then so the breakup was, like, so much worse, because I was like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
And then it destroyed me.
Well, it's
me.
Like, when your actions aren't aligning with, like, your character, or, like, who you know and believe you can be at your core, there's nothing worse than that feeling.
I'm just like,
that is the worst feeling in the world.
Well, it's
I've done things that I'm like, oh my God, who was that? Like, I would never do that to someone. I would never let my friend do that, mm-hmm, to someone. I would, like, what was I doing?
Like, am I a bad person?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. That's my whole thing. I'm always scared. I'm like, I must be a bad person.
So I guess what hurts me there is because she, I don't know, it just destroyed me.
Do you feel like you're over all of your exes?
Yes, I'm over all of my exes. That situation, though, I actually was sitting outside with my friends, like, just having a glass of wine, and she walked by the first time I ever seen her since 19. This was like, or since like 20. This was like 4 or 5 months ago. I'm over her, but yeah. I was just like,
the feeling.
I felt something. It was just scary because I just, that situation is what jump-started my healing journey. I was just like, oh my God, there's so many things wrong with me. Mm. But it destroyed me, but then I built myself back up, and obviously. Now and now I'm here.
Yeah.
But it was just like, seriously horrible.
Yeah. I would say my first girl I loved, that was horrible. Mm-hmm. That was like not the public relationship, like something that was like a sneaky thing I did in high school. That was horrible because it was like, it was unrequited love, but it wasn't, because we really loved each other, but she was like, we can't do this because we're going to hell. And so it ended for that reason. So like that one ate me up forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I was like, and I felt like so much stuff between me and her was unsaid, and I never got to like say what I wanted to say about it.
You're going to always have that.
Yeah. Well, because like, what is closure? You know, it's like,
right. What, imagine you could have that talk. What would even,
what is the talk?
Yeah. What is the talk?
But sometimes it does. Sometimes the talk helps.
Yeah.
What was it like growing up gay with African parents? Your mom is African?
My mom's African. My dad's white.
I've seen your TikTok where you went to that wedding and you wore like the traditional male outfit or whatever.
So my mom, bless her heart, I love you, mom, accepted me. She accepted me down.
It seemed like in that video too. She's like, she, and if anyone comes up to me, I will tell them, like,
yes. The hard part is the guilt I feel for the kind of backlash that she gets from her family. She has had multiple people tell her, like, pray for your daughter, like, blah blah blah, this, that, and the third. A bill was just passed by Parliament in Ghana to make being gay and the promotion of gayness and allies illegal. It's one of the harshest
and allies. It's not bills. Even anything.
Yes. And I've featured her in my videos before, and she's just like, I'm not going back to Ghana now. And I feel a lot of guilt because she doesn't even feel like she can go back to her motherland. Not even because of danger for her, because obviously she's not queer, but just
because of you,
me, and family and stuff. So that is the hard part. It sucks. I feel like I'm disconnecting her from her roots. But she accepts me, and I feel like she's the same as me. Like, if you don't accept it, she's not even really trying to talk to you either.
I was going
to
say, do you feel like she even feels a loss in that way? Because she genuinely stands by you, and it's like...
Yeah, I don't think she does.
Yeah.
But obviously, there's going to be guilt there.
Yeah.
From me. And then my dad, he's cool. He just accepts everything. But the African parent thing is, I'm so blessed. But gayness within the African community is so behind.
Yeah, I would say.
It's so behind.
Seems, I feel like anywhere outside of like America, and even Australia is like really behind. It's so weird.
Oh yeah. I find it hard to travel as like obviously gay black person, especially when I'm bringing my boo with me.
Yeah.
I'm like,
you guys, where just can went we go? On a trip.
Yeah.
Where did you go?
Costa Rica. It was fine there. I mean, we got invited as influencers, so they knew what it was. So that's easy. Puerto Rico, San Juan, super gay friendly. I was walking around, saw queer people everywhere.
That's nice.
It's really important to find those travel safe destinations, though. And people don't understand, you should have travel anxiety. It's scary out here for gay people. It's like, obviously gay people, especially like people of color. Like, you got to be careful.
Yeah, I can't even imagine, because I feel scared. I've dated people in the past who've not dated women before, or came out later in life, or are younger a little, and like have less internalized homophobia than me. And sometimes I would feel like, okay, like, you don't get it though, this isn't safe. Like, I don't feel safe.
Have you ever been like, don't hold my hand? Me too. And I feel like
bad. And it makes me feel like really bad.
And I also feel like I'm a pussy or something. But I'm trying to keep us both safe.
No, literally. I'm like, I can't protect you.
Yes.
I can't protect myself. I can't protect me. Yes. So I don't know what to do. But I'm like, I think there is obviously, there is some internalized homophobia within myself.
Yes.
One. So I'm like, I do see that.
But there's
reality. It's based in reality. It's not like based in something I've made up. So like, I'm like, oh, sometimes gay people get hurt, like, that's true. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know. In Italy too, Italy is not really that good with gay people.
Have you ever been to Greece?
No.
I felt scared in Greece, but I don't know how much of that was anxiety. So that's why I'm always hesitant to say, because I get a lot of anxiety with that. I don't want to hold hands doing anything unless it's like we got invited or just anything. It's just I want to keep us both safe.
Totally. Especially when you look gay. I already look gay.
Yes.
I don't even have to do anything.
Yes.
And when you date women who are hyper femme and men want them,
then they're even more mad.
And then they see you with them. That's where it gets like, to me, I feel more scared too, because they're like, fuck you for taking that girl from like me, which first of all, she wouldn't like you. But it's like the aggression feels more towards me.
Absolutely.
So I'm like, I'm scared.
Yes. What's a gay friendly place you've traveled to?
I don't know, because I guess I don't test it that much, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not doing the most.
Yeah. But I want to do the most.
Oh, Portugal. Sad. You should go to Portugal.
Stop. Really?
Oh, my God. So gay friendly.
Really?
Everyone. So many gay people. They have gay clubs, gay bars. It's super, super gay. I was holding hands the whole time.
I'm going.
Yeah, I didn't care at all.
I'm going.
And like the beaches, amazing. You have to go.
I'm going. I love traveling.
Me too.
What's your sign?
I'm a Pisces.
Pisces.
What are you?
Taurus.
Let's finish this so I can tell you more too. All right. Okay. Did you have fun?
Yes.
Did you actually?
I had a great time.
I think we did a good job.
Yeah.
You should have a podcast. You asked really good questions.
Really?
Yeah.
God, thank you.
Yeah. Did you guys like this episode? And should Nicole be on again? If you come to LA, we should do it again.
Yes.
So we can do it proper in my bed.
Yes, please.
Okay. We follow Nicole on all their socials. I called you. Now I'm going to.
Oh, my God. You don't want me to be a girl so bad.
What's going on? Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
On his socials. Like, come on.
Okay, follow Nicole on all her socials. Do you have anything coming up that people should pay attention to?
Yeah, I have something dropping soon. You just have to stay tuned to find out.
Hell yeah, pay attention. And she's hilarious and her TikToks are amazing, so follow her. And on Instagram, you are so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
You and your girlfriend are literally, I want to take your picture sometime.
Please.
Yeah, I'd love to. Okay, thanks for watching. Goodbye.